Hello and welcome to In the Spotlight podcast with myself, Bill Cummings. And today I'm joined by Eves Wilder.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Moments.
Yeah. Thank you for doing this and
No problem.
for everything. It's really lovely to talk to you.
Thanks. So I've just been listening to the album. Yeah, oh, really good. You've had a couple of shows, haven't you, recently?
Yeah, I've had a couple shows, kind of like first shows in this album
Yeah.
cycle, which has been cool.
And then you've had your recent single, Hurricane Girl. That's what I was going to talk to you about, because I find it interesting because it's like your previous stuff, maybe a bit more shoegaze influence or a bit more other things. And that is definitely in the album as well. But this one seems a bit more, it's a bit bolder. It's very powerful, I put. Was that something you were trying to
Thanks.
embody, that kind of power?
I think definitely, I think probably the biggest theme for me, in the music I've done so far, but also just in my life so far, is what to do with all of the kind of untethered energy and, if I'm being really honest, rage. I think I've got a
Yeah,
lot of I'm quite an
okay.
angry person. I have a lot of rage inside of me. But I think because of the body that I'm in and also the I don't want to be a bitch or the, wait, am I allowed to swear
Yeah,
on
of
here?
course, yeah.
I don't want to be a bitch, so I kind of try to toe the line and I try to have this sunny disposition, which is why the album is called Little Miss
Yeah, it
Sunshine.
was another question I've got for you.
I've just got, and I think kind of I've tried many different ways of dealing with this rage and energy that's inside of me, and some of them have been really self-destructive and some of them have been through music. And in my first EP, I think I was exploring channeling my anger through the genre of Riot Girl and
Yeah.
Riot Girl mainly, and kind of shoegaze a bit as well, but Riot Girl especially, just because you're 16 and you suddenly find out there was this movement 20 years ago where these women were figuring out the same thing. It was so exciting. But I've tried to take it a step further, and instead of it being about me being a woman trying to take up more space and doing a Riot Girl thing, I just want to be bigger in an elemental way, in a non even kind of in a more atmospheric way.
Yeah, there was I was reading your one of your press. I really like the line about the next single. I wasn't be having a nervous breakdown. I was just a hurricane making a whirlwind. I'm not stubborn, I'm a mountain. Clouds aren't pathetic when they cry, so why am I? I really like that. That's like quite poetic, really.
Thank you. I kind of I find it a really useful way. Once I started going down this route of using nature as a metaphor for the emotional turbulence, and it's funny, it's I feel like we kind of do that already, where she's got her head in the clouds, or she's a ray of sunshine, or very tempestuous. We do that because I think we do separate ourselves a bit too much from nature. And I go through seasonal depression every year. I think a lot of people do. And
I
instead
do
of
as
I've
well, yeah.
I snap, and it's useful to me to try and make myself a bit less guilty. Be other animals hibernate. Maybe this is my way of doing that.
Yeah, it's natural in a way, you know. Although
Yeah.
maybe it's not so natural to like the way we mess up with clocks, it makes it even darker, but you know,
Yeah.
that's another topic.
Yeah, exactly. I think we've made the world quite inhospitable for us trying to actually be at one with our bodies, because we all have to work and we all have to do all this other stuff, and we're kind of taught to push these feelings down so that we can be productive. But yeah, I think anyway,
Yeah,
that's
and
all.
that links to another question I had actually about well, it was about the title really, but people have an expectation, especially of women, young women, and maybe yourself as well, like you said, what you embody and then how you actually feel. But there does seem to be like an expectation of women, especially in music, compared to male artists. Like you said, there's often the mood in the moodiness in a male artist is often seen as something like, oh, he's a tortured, a tortured
Yeah.
artist, or like a poet or a genius or whatever. Whereas when it comes to a woman, it's often critical, the
Yeah,
reception to it. So
she's
I
gone mad.
basically.
Yeah,
Or
and
there's a
then
lot of like misogyny, isn't there, still in music and stuff?
definitely, and then I also feel like kind of people, women are kind of allowed to have rage in some ways, but only
Yeah,
in a very
definitely.
specific way that's like
Yes.
quite palatable and like hot for like for men to watch,
Yeah,
if
yeah.
I think a lot of the time, yeah, I just see that double standard all the time. I just feel like we have to go along with things, I think, a lot more, and maybe people please, and maybe we don't even have to. That's the kind of tragic thing. Like I feel like I like, for example, like the label I'm on are all amazing, and like I know they would never make me do that. But it's like just this internalized thing in meetings. My first reaction would be like, oh yeah, that's a great idea. And then I have to go back and be like, wait, no, that's actually not what I want. And like I
Yeah.
have to check myself all the time. Where I feel like, men might be allowed to just be like, no. And they don't have to explain themselves. And they're praised for it. It's even more of a reason why they're like a mysterious genius, but we're kind of just labeled like a moody bitch. Which I'm the first one to call myself too, but it's the kind of thing you can only call yourself, not someone
Yeah,
else.
yeah. Yeah, it's just this thing in the music industry, and also just in life in general, isn't it? This idea that you like, especially as a woman, like you said, you can only be one way if you're. When the reality is actually much more difficult, and maybe people don't want to face up to the reality almost sometimes, like rage. And I remember Sinead O'Connor got a lot of
Yes.
crap because she just basically laid it all out there. She was very
Yeah.
like raw and rage, a lot of rage, a lot of anger, a lot of mental health issues and
Yeah.
stuff. And yet that was seen as like, I don't know, she often got like treated badly, I felt anyway. But
Yeah, and it's because I think it's all about presentation, and like
yes.
if she had been showing a bit more skin and wearing a bit more makeup, and she had like long hair, and she was doing it in this like coy, like, you can't mess with me, like, I'm one of the boys' way, they would have been all over that. But she chose to just be herself, and I think that's so cool, and it's so brave, and like, I'm definitely really inspired by her for that. She never wavered in like her respect for herself. And I don't mean about like what you're wearing, like that doesn't say your respect, but you can just tell that how she presented is exactly how she felt.
Yeah, and there's an honesty to that, isn't there? An artistry. But that maybe is one of the slightly better things about this era, is you can be a bit
Yeah.
more yourself. But then on the other hand, social media can be a brutal place as well for a woman, as well, a young woman. I was just reading here on Secretly Canadian that you wrote your first song after you heard a Liz Fraser song, which I didn't realise that.
Yeah, the first song for this record was after hearing a Liz Fraser song of yeah,
Okay.
but
Oh, the riff of Rope Burn. Okay, I
yeah, and
see.
I don't really know why it doesn't actually sound anything like it, but
No.
I just think it was really ethereal. Like it just I don't know. Sometimes you just hear people and they don't even sound like the song you end up making, but they were kind of in. Are they in the same kind of zone or the same kind of mindset? And it's just inspiring.
You mentioned Pearl Jam and inspiration for the Hurricane Girl, and I can definitely hear that in like maybe the first two or three tracks, because like
Nice. Oh,
I
yeah.
love Ten as an album. It's funny as well because they're one of those bands. I know you mentioned Stone Temple Pilots as well, but they're one of those bands that almost get like looked down upon, like they're not
Yeah.
like cool. Do you know what I mean? Compared to Nirvana, who I
Yeah.
loved as well, but they were a different. They were different bands. They were totally different bands, really. But
Yeah, they
especially
were.
that first few albums, there was something about them that was just like really magnetic and powerful.
Yeah.
And I was talking to because I go to a guitar group, and we were trying to learn Black, which is
Oh,
a great song as
sick.
well. But like we were saying, like the way he sings is really funny, isn't it? Like the sort of
I
growls and everything. But I suppose I wondered like what sort of
what were your favorite Pearl Jam albums or songs, and what kind of inspired you to put that into your music? Because really, when I first read that, I was like, oh, I don't usually hear Pearl Jam as a reference, point.
It's funny because you like, yeah, when I kind of, I'm super into like 90s, like indie, or not even indie, but like alt music kind of stuff. And so I've heard lots of interviews like other bands just like slagging them off. Like it seems like they were like a punching bag, which, but it's funny because obviously I wasn't alive then, so that it hasn't really affected
You don't
me.
get that
Like
thing.
I'm not like, I didn't necessarily feel embarrassed. And then the first time I remember like mentioning them as a reference to the label, they were like, I love that you're not afraid to like, like, because they're quite embarrassed, they're quite like dad rock, aren't they? But I fucking love
I don't
dad rock.
know. They were kind of seen like surfy hippies, but I think part of it was that they had it because they were called Mother Love Bone before the Pearl Jam, and they had a different singer. So I think it was because Eddie Vedder sort of came along later. I think there was a sense that from the other grunge crowd that it was like, oh, these Johnny come latelys kind of thing. And they were a bit more like you said, sort of arena rock than, Nirvana and some of the other bands like Soundgarden. Well, Soundgarden is similar anyway, but like Mudhoney and all these kind of other ones that were like a bit more grimy. And but I think there's a real power to at 10. I can like
Definitely.
every single like not even the lyrics, like the noises. I can do every single noise, every single riff. It's just one of those albums that like has always stuck with me. It's funny. I've got two copies of it as well. Anyway.
It is one of those, it's a really great album to listen to all the way through. And it's
Yeah.
also, I never understood. I feel like people kind of, people use like stadium rock and arena rock like as a derogatory term, and I've never understood that, because I'm
No.
like, why would you not want to write a song that sounds so fucking huge that it sounds like it should be in a stadium? Like, what are you doing? Like, oh, that's so visceral, that's like so intense, that's so cool. And I love that it's funny they get lumped in the one like you were saying, because they are so different. For me, they feel way more like proggy than Nirvana. Like, they clearly know their scales, and they're like, they
Oh, they
fuck with
are. They are.
timings and structures and stuff. It just seems like a different world. Like, same with Jane's Addiction. I've loved those two bands quite similarly, but I think like probably someone that was a fan of one of them at the time would hate that. But for me, they do really similar things where they've just got this like, yeah, elemental and
No, I
prog
can
rock.
hear that. I can hear that. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I just love the intensity a lot.
I think maybe some of it's to do with the way he sings, because like that's not like a cool way of singing, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Anyway, especially at the time. But I think like a song like Alive is like, and Jeremy as well, and Black and things like that. That there's a sense, there's a like a lot of melancholy in there, but there's also like this idea that like we've been through all this crap, but we're going to survive. I felt like about that their
Yeah,
stuff.
Alive is, that was the song that got me into them, and I
Yeah, I
listened to
think
that.
so.
I was like up a mountain and I listened to it, and I was just like, I had just been through quite a lot, and I was, those lyrics just absolutely got me. I was just like, this is so euphoric. And yeah, Jeremy, there are so many bangers. Even Flow, oh my
Oh
God,
yeah.
it all bangs,
And
that whole album.
the riffs are huge on it as well.
Huge fat riffs. I'm such a fan of the fat riff.
Yeah, it's funny because like I've also got into Hole like in the last couple of years, and I
Oh,
like at the
nice.
time I wasn't really as massively into them, but now I'm like really into them. I
Love
really
them.
like Everybody Talks as well. That was
Thank you.
is the version on the album slightly different? Is that right? Because it sounds slightly different.
The radio version, you might have heard the radio version, which is a bit
Okay.
shorter.
Okay.
But the one that's on Spotify is like the same one on the album, just quite long, so we had to cut it.
I just like this idea you were talking about, the noise of big crowds and like the amount of people and everything. And it's not a topic everybody, it's not a topic. When you talk about neurodivergence as well at one point in the press release, I know especially in the last few years, I found big crowds like anxiety inducing and stuff like that, and tiring and stuff. So I just wondered, yeah, it's not a topic that's often talked about in music, is it? Because we're meant to all just enjoy it, aren't we? So that's the kind of thing.
I think it's like the song is kind of about both things, because it's more about like needing escapisms. Like one verse is about, I'm the one on stage and everyone's talking and I can't get into these songs because I
Right, yeah.
can't concentrate. And then the other verse is like was m kind of more meant to feel like I'm in the crowd, because I do love crowds. I love being in a mosh pit. I love it when you're part of this like sea of people and you it's so elemental and you come out of your body. But even that, sometimes I feel like people aren't willing to let go, and then if people aren't willing to be as much in the moment, I'm like, but I just want to escape. Like I just want to like not have any thoughts right now. Why is everyone filming? Why is everyone like talking? Let's like be in this thing together. So it's kind of about both, and just the noise of like everyday life. And I think it's like no secret that like now it's quite a weird time to be a musician. It's quite, it feels like a lot of noise in like lots of different ways. And yeah, I have ADHD and I get super overstimulated, which is something I find like quite embarrassing to say, because it's now become such like what's it called, like a stick for people to like beat our generation with, like, oh, you guys are all neurodivergent. But I mean, that's just the truth. Like, it's really hard. Sometimes it just gets too overwhelming, and like if I'm playing and I hear someone talking, I just want to know exactly. I want to know what they're doing. I can't help it. But I can hear everything they're saying, and it takes me out of it.
I even find like going to coffee shops and stuff like that, people the tone, like the height, the like the volume of people's voices sometimes.
Been done
You work
that.
with Andy Savers, I can't say his name, Savers.
Andy Savers.
So what do you think he sort of brought to the record? Because it definitely sounds like chunky, you know, some of the rap tracks anyway.
He brought a really good, like, he brought it's great to have perspective, like, because it had been a really isolated process. Like I work out a shed in my garden, and for like a year and a half it was like just me in there all day every day, making the album. Like I did all the production there, and then kind of the process is then we take it into his studio and we might re-record. I record my vocals so shitty in the shed and stuff just to get it out, and we re-record and he brings more perspective of like, maybe we could have a bit less here, a bit more here. But like, it was just nice to have like another sounding board. It was and he had all of, he got all my references as well, which was really cool. And like he showed me songs I hadn't heard before that like I'd accidentally kind of sounded quite a lot like. It was really, it's always, I find it quite hard to open myself up to like working with other people. So it's like, it's quite hard for me to hand it over. Like it's actually really hard.
I bet.
But he was so, he was like, he was respectful, and he really, it was really nice.
Added a different perspective to that sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely. Especially things like, I think our biggest kind of source of tension was, he always wanted my vocals to be clearer, and I'm so shy, and like I'm so into like the guitars. For me, the guitars are so important, because and he really encouraged me to like have my vocals at the forefront, which like made me quite uncomfortable sometimes, but I'm so happy that he did that and kind of pushed me a little bit out of my comfort zone in a way that like a producer should do.
Well, it's about evolving as an artist and a person, isn't it? It's hard to just, especially as like an emerging artist, it's hard to just jump into that, isn't it, sometimes? There's that, sometimes you just want to almost not hide because you're making music, but it's yeah, it's something you can't just like jump it straight into because it's something you learn, isn't it? You mentioned some of the artists you're inspired by and stuff, Wet Leg and
Oh yeah, I love
Umut
them.
and things and Wolf Eyes. These are kind of artists who sort of they don't hide, do they? So it's sort of
No, but it's funny because Actually, I think with all three of those artists, like I've been following all of their careers for like a long time, and I do think actually they all did. I think
Yeah,
this is
maybe early on, yeah.
I went and saw Wolf Alice the other day, and I hadn't really understood the song Bloom, Baby Bloom, and then I saw her perform in this way that I'd never seen her, and I've seen her so many times, and she was just so confident, and I finally understood that that's what that song is about, of her letting herself stop hiding, and I just burst into tears because it just felt so visceral. And then I saw I saw Wet Leg as well at Glastonbury, and I'd seen them a few years before, and the way that Rihanna, her stage presence has changed, where like she
Grown,
was
yeah.
really still, and she was in these like big dresses, and you know she was a little bit shy, and she just totally is embodied now, and I'm really inspired by that because it kind of shows me that it is okay to start off a little bit shy, and you know it doesn't mean you're not
Yeah,
meant to.
yeah. You
Just got to keep going.
can't just jump into it. Like it's a growth, isn't it, thing. And it wouldn't
Yeah.
reflect where you are as well as an artist, like, which seems quite important to you. I was just looking at your Bandcamp and stuff because there was quite a few songs I liked early on as well. I think it was
Oh, thank you.
Man We Was Lonely,
Oh, thank
yeah,
you.
which I quite
Oh,
liked as well.
thank you. That's
But very different, wasn't it? Which was, God, that's 4 years ago now, isn't it? Wow.
yeah. I was 14 when I wrote that. I was
Really?
so,
Wow.
I
Okay.
was really that's like I took the name from a Paul McCartney song, like off his first solo record.
Okay, yeah.
I love him a lot, and yeah, that it is quite different, but I also think elements of like my music, it's quite ethereal, and it's still quite
Yeah, especially the second half of the album, I would say. Like,
yeah.
are you a patron of Music Venue Trust? Is that right as well? Or are you just like a advocate, a big
I'm just
advocate?
an advocate, like
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not even involved, but I did meet the
Okay,
guy.
cool.
I
Yeah,
met the
Mark,
guy.
isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, he's incredible. And you know, he actually gave me a lot of hope, which I feel like is not something that's going around much right now, in the for musicians. Like I feel like we're just constantly being told like how kind of fucked we are, and then and
Yeah.
talking to him was like a really beautiful experience, and it kind of is like the first thing in a while that made me feel like really optimistic. And it's something that obviously I just like stand behind so heavily because I grew up, you know, with my fake ID sneaking into all these
Yeah.
places that are under threat, and
Yeah.
like grew up, I became myself in these places and like saw my first shows, and yeah, so I care a lot. I care a lot about that. I would love to be a patron.
Yeah, and it's like really important. There was some like dichotomy between you've got at sort of one end like Harry Styles. I'm not blaming Harry Styles because Harry Styles at this point is a brand, isn't it? It's like a
Yeah.
move. It's like a business thing. Once back,
Yeah.
once artists get to that size, it's like, but yeah, I think some of his tickets were like 7,000, 7,000, 700, like 1,000 quid, something like
Fucking
that.
hell.
Some of them, and then at the other end, you've got like venues just closing, haven't you? And there is that like, how do we encourage more people to go to like? Just go to a show that's like, say, a £5 on artists like you don't know, but how do we encourage that? Do you know what I mean? Because
Yeah.
once they're gone, they're gone. Like I think we lost 30 last year, and yeah, it's just really important. I think this levy is really good that they're doing at Guardian.
Definitely.
Yeah, keeping.
And
I think the government
ultimately,
could do more as well, definitely.
well, yeah, it all is like, you know, Harry Styles, you know, I have had those thoughts before. If I'm like watching a gig at Wembley, I'm like, fuck this person. Like, if they'd given 1% of these ticket sales, they could have, you know,
Yeah,
the
it's a
amount of
tricky
different.
one,
But
isn't it?
then also, I'm like,
The
you know,
cost involved in touring, you probably know yourself, is a lot, you know. So as well, you can understand that as well.
yeah, and ultimately, like, you know, it shouldn't be other musicians' responsibilities to
No,
do
no,
that.
no.
The government have completely fucked it, and like they know that. And but also ultimately, like, I'm not, it's a it's heartbreaking, but I'm also not worried because people are never going to stop playing music, and it will just, it's all cyclical, and it will be like, It was like in the 70s when like loads of stuff shut down and people just started putting on their own raves, and in the 80s as well. Like I just don't, that it will always happen. It just might have to go underground for a bit and then it will come back overground.
I feel like there would be a move. I feel like there is like a gathering movement of, because we're moving into AI and things like that, and like just how overwhelming everything is, and things like streaming don't really work for artists and stuff like that. I feel like there's going to be like a movement of like returning to the old school sort of way of like selling records and just like mailing lists, and I think that is happening because ultimately that is like you probably that's probably one of my questions as well. It's like as an emerging artist and stuff, it's like how do you build an audience, you know, in this era? I know it's all social, a lot of it's social media and stuff, but there's a lot of people who are just gonna almost like they're gonna not even start. They're gonna stop uploading their stuff to Spotify. They're gonna just start talking to their fans like directly, and just cut all that out. Because ultimately, a lot of people, I think there was some stat about how many tracks on Spotify don't get heard and all this kind of stuff. And it's like ultimately, you go straight to your own fans, can't you? Eventually, I mean, it's different as an emerging artist because you've got to get built to that point, but. Yeah, I feel like that's going to start happening, you know?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think, we can't actually live like this. It's not sustainable.
No.
And every day I'm fucking racking my brain. I feel like I'm on the precipice of an incredible idea that's could have fix this, because I do think it's also gonna have to fix it, because we'll come up with something that will bring it back to like it was gonna cut out the middlemen a bit, but
Yeah, I
I'm
feel like
working on
Bandcamp
it.
is something like that, but yeah, even that's been taken over, hasn't it, by a corporate
I
entity. So
know.
yeah, it's just I think it's maybe it's a societal thing as well, but
Yeah,
I
I
don't
think
know.
we all need to have a bit more. I think because it's funny, I think musicians are just taken advantage of quite a bit because we do it for the love of it. Everyone knows that, and everyone knows that like ultimately we won't, even if we are the last ones to get paid and we don't ever get paid and we are taken advantage of, we're exploited, we're still going to keep coming back and doing it because it's what
You
keeps
love
us
it, yeah.
going. So I feel that. Yeah, I feel that that can be taken advantage of sometimes, but we'll figure it out. I have so much faith in people. Like, people aren't stupid. The audience aren't stupid, and the audience, everybody knows how important music is, and they do show it. Like, people do turn up to these little venues. That there's always people there. The rooms are never completely empty. So yeah, I've got hope for it.
And you've got another single coming out, haven't you?
Yeah, I do. Mountain sized.
That was another one where it seemed to be, like we talked about before, sort of embodying that energy. Was that right? Or
Yeah, it was. It was actually like it was quite a breakthrough when like starting the record. I was just so down on myself. In like quite a dark negative place, and I just didn't know where to start. And my favorite song maybe ever is The Fear by Lily Allen. I just think it's like an
yes, that's
absolute
what I was going to mention.
masterpiece. Oh yeah, I think I mentioned that in the press
Yeah, that's
release.
right. Yeah.
It's just a masterpiece, and like I just love it. Goes back to the thing I was saying about like why it's called Little Miss Sunshine, because like women that aren't afraid to come across as unlikable and do it
Yes.
intentionally are so fucking cool, and it's like the bravest thing you can do as a woman. And that's why I love Courtney Love, and that's also why I love Lily Allen for that
PJ
song in
Harvey, you
particular.
mentioned as well.
Yeah, PJ, like just not afraid to look weird and like maybe disgusting sometimes and like
Yes,
really
yeah.
undesirable, and the way that the
Well,
fear
it's the
is made.
same with the, you know, like the male comparison, like you said before. It's like male artists don't seem to have a problem with that. They're not
Yeah,
judged for it.
I saw
So.
Youngblood like take a piss on stage one time, and I'm like, fucking hell, if Wet Leg did this, well, actually, it was like probably very ironic because of their name, but also, like, they'd be absolutely
Oh, yes.
torn to pieces. And anyway, so I just loved it. the verses of that song is her just listing increasingly unlikable things, but very honest and very truthful things about how she and most women kind of feel. And I wanted to do the same. Like, these are the conversations that me and my friends will have. Like, I don't think I can be a mum. I'm like way too much of a bitch. I'm too selfish, and I need to drink like multiple times a week. And there's all these things that you like find it that maybe you'd only admit when you're already a few pints in. And then I liked to contrast that with, but ideally I would be this huge, unmovable, like beautiful thing that takes up all this space and isn't scared of it. And yeah, I think that's where the song comes from.
That's quite powerful because it's a bit like an affirmation, isn't it? Because often when like anxiety is in your head or fears are in your head, they seem much more real. Whereas when you tell someone else or when you like put it out there, it sort of disarms them in a way, you know?
I think so. And like, I think really on this record, it was very important to me to stop trying to come across, try, I didn't want to make people try and make people like me, and I didn't want to try and say what maybe I should say. I just really wanted people to be where I was at, because I also know that when you're on stage, that's what you need. You need to sing songs that are honest to you. And I kind of wanted to do that as a favor to myself, and I really enjoy singing those lyrics because they always feel true to me.
Well, that's the main thing, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's about, I guess.
How
Yeah,
do you
don't you?
find as a young artist sort of building a career? Because a lot of emphasis seems to be going on towards things like TikTok, and I noticed you did a cover on TikTok. What was the cover, and how do you find that as a platform to connect with other people and our fans, you know?
Yeah, I do. Are you talking about the Tears for Fears
Ah,
cover?
okay. Which song?
I just did Head Over Heels, which is
Ah, I
like
love that song.
It's just a perfect song. It's
Talking of another band, you like write big song, big pop songs.
yeah,
Yeah,
huge and
brilliant.
stadium songs. Like,
Yes,
they're
huge.
so huge. Yeah, to be honest, like, it took fucking years for for anyone to convince me to get TikTok. I was like, it's the poison of society. It's ruining everything, which is still things I stand by. But I also, in a day and age where like touring is, you kind of have to pay to play a lot of the time. Posting on TikTok is free, and that's really amazing. And like, that makes for a lot of creativity, and it actually is quite a good way to find community. Like, if you I never want to do something for the sake of just trying to get attention, but I do like to go on there and talk about the artists I love and talk about like the how I wrote like behind the songs that I do, because I'd like the idea of making a space that people can go to and just love, just talk about music, whether it's my music or other people's music. And I think that's what it's about. We're like, we talk about kind of taking out the middleman. Whether you like TikTok or you hate it, it does take out the middleman a bit, because people can just find you.
Bit like Instagram as well, which does seem to be increasingly popular, you know. Now that like Twitter and things like that have been taken over by techno fascists and stuff like
Yeah, fuck
that.
that.
But I suppose it's a bit. I do find Instagram. I don't. I've only looked at TikTok. I'm on there, but I haven't really like examined it properly. But yeah, I find it a bit more of a. It's a bit more of a supportive environment, I think. Anyway, a bit more.
Yeah, definitely. Instagram's definitely kinder than TikTok. Like, some incels found me on TikTok the other
Oh
day,
dear.
and it's fine. They thought they were like saying shit that it's like cutting. It wasn't, but it was just interesting how much TikTok breeds like negativity. Like, that's kind of how you get up the algorithm, by having controversy, and I hate that. I think that's like everything that's wrong with the world.
I
So
think that is
yeah.
the problem with social media generally, isn't it? Sort of it encourages extremes, really.
Yeah, in huge ways, and that's not how we're meant to live. Like, we need
No.
nuance.
And I actually think when you step back from it, you have to remind yourself that like social media isn't like the world often. Do you know
Yeah,
what I mean?
it doesn't represent, it doesn't even represent like 1% of this world. It's just like,
No.
but it feels like it is the whole world sometimes. And yeah, that perspective's good to keep.
And also the algorithm is very much controlling it these days, even more so than it used to, I think.
Oh, definitely.
So
Hugely.
it's just, yeah, I think again related back to the point about I do th and I don't know where we're going with AI and these thing kind of things. I feel like there will be a
Yeah.
point where a lot of people will just switch off to from it, you know, they'll just get to that point. But I don't
Yeah.
know. I suppose social media, we're so used to it now, and I am as well, but it's just
Yeah.
maybe we won't give it up, but I don't know. It gets to the point where the doom scrolling of it, you know, the doom scrolling.
Yeah.
But
Yeah. Definitely.
could
Yeah,
be
I
too
think.
much, can't it, sometimes? I especially with politics, I've had to really, like, because the sort of since Brexit, it's just been such, like you said about the music stuff, it's just been sort of relentlessly grim, the news, you know.
Definitely. And
I've had to
like
step back a little bit because
using your nervous system to its own benefit, and like it just, I mean, that's what everybody talks is kind of about. It's more about that than it is about people actually talking in crowds, but it's just quite a hard thing to explain. Where it's
Well,
like,
a lot of songs are like double or treble meanings, aren't they? So,
oh yeah, and yeah, that song is about everything and just the unrelenting noise of it, and like everybody has to have an opinion. Like, even if you don't have an opinion on something, you on social media, you will make yourself have an opinion
that's
just to be
right.
heard. And I hate that. Like, people don't think before they say because they just want to have said something, and
Yeah.
it's so redundant. Yeah, I
There's
hate
so many
that.
drafts of things I have never posted because
Yeah.
I just thought maybe that isn't the best idea to post that, you know. Anyway,
Yeah.
are there any artists you're enjoying at the moment? Like just current, or we talked about a few, but
Oh yeah,
any albums or anything?
I've got loads actually. I love, oh, I do love Blonde Shell. I think she's really cool. I love Mannequin Pussy. I love Heartworms. I've seen her like quite a
Oh,
few
she's great,
times
yeah.
recently. She's sick. I love Dice Fit, so this like Midwest metal
Yes,
band. They're
I've heard
cool
of
as
them.
fuck. And I also love Confidence Man and Fat Dog actually. They're loads of fun to see live. I think we've got really great music coming out this
Oh,
country. I
yeah.
mean, I know Dice Bits from America, but like, yeah, in this country, we've got lots bubbling up and lots of different cool things. I'm like really enjoying being a music fan at the moment.
Yeah. Any gigs you are coming up, or
Oh, what have I
you've got
got
your
coming
own
up?
tour coming up, haven't you? Or
I
some
do.
own dates.
Yeah, I'm headlining Shack. Well, next week,
Cool.
and I've got. Oh, I think I'm gonna go see Throwing Muses. I just
Oh, yeah.
those t I saw them last year, but like I can't really see enough of them, to be honest. So yeah, I'm gonna go see them in Camden.
Yeah, they're like another underrated. They're really
So
underrated, actually.
underrated. I know. I don't know what. Actually,
And
to
they've
be
all
fair,
got great solo stuff as well. And what's that band,
yeah,
Belly, as well?
Belly.
All those offshoot bands are great as well. Yeah.
Definitely. Kristen Hirsch is, yeah, she's just a genius. I
She's
love her book. And
a
I
legend,
think
isn't she?
she did that on purpose, so I think she's tried to keep underground because she like hated the
Yeah,
music industry.
possibly, yeah. Which I can kind of get, you know. But
Yeah. Or it makes me sad
it's
though,
just
because
a bit
like
sad
they,
because people never mention them, do they?
I
I think
know.
it was like a post on Facebook I replied for. It was like underrated 90s bands. I think I said Throwing Muses.
Yeah,
Yeah.
they are really underrated. They'll get their flowers, and I'm sure of it.
Yeah, because
They're
like that sort of clever, sort of
so fucking
clever
clever
lyrics. Yeah.
and very weird, very, very weird. Like her story is so cool, and I think a lot of those bands that like I always thought were just mine are like I'm seeing them have a huge reemergence on TikTok, which is interesting. Like
Yeah.
none of my mates had ever listened to The Sundays, and now when I'm on
Hell
TikTok,
yeah.
I just see them all the time, and
Huge, yeah.
that's cool.
It's interesting that that's Slowdiver, another one who got
Yeah.
over on TikTok and things. It's interesting
Yeah,
what
it makes
sort of
sense.
comes up. I think it's because 90s music maybe had more like character to it. A lot of, I'm not saying, you know, there's a lot of great stuff in the independent scene, like you said, but like what people are served up, if that makes sense, you know, in the mainstream.
It compared to that, it's just got like more character to it, hasn't it? More personality, just more
Yeah.
substance, I guess.
It's really, although I don't know, I think we have, I still think, that's why I do love bands like Amel and the Stiffers and Wolfella,
Yeah,
because I
no, there are
think,
great stuff out there. I just mean like in terms of, I don't know. Yeah.
I just
I
I
suppose it's
think
just if you're like a casual music fan and all you hear is like Ed Sheeran, The Chance.
yeah,
Not to diss Ed Sheeran either, but you
I'm
know,
fine
just
with dissing him.
but you know, just a certain stuff in the charts that like if you hear something like that, you're like, and I think that's why even Oasis, no, all there, everyone's got their own opinions on them, but you know,
Yeah.
it has got character, whether you like it or not. It's got character, the music they're
Yeah.
making and the personalities they are, and just that
Yeah.
kind of 90s era. I think it's because a lot of independent labels were investing in like talent, regardless of what they were doing. It was like talent,
That's true. Like, I don't think we have that as, like, I've heard so many horror stories about, I have friends that were signed, that have been signed to majors,
Oh,
like,
yeah.
and if you don't do well on the first release, you're dropped. And a label like 4AD in the 90s would have never, that's not how their philosophy, it was for the love, it was more just for the love of it, which is
Yeah.
how Secretly is, I believe. Like, that is what Secretly are like. They're so nurturing in that way.
Yeah, they do seem a good label. And actually, that links to something else I was. That's been in the news recently, a band called Witch Fever. They were talking about
Oh
they played
yeah.
arenas,
Yeah, and they couldn't afford
yet they're
to
skinned and they're in debt and
no.
everything. I suppose that is like a encapsulates a lot of what's wrong with the industry at the moment, isn't it, really? Because a
I
lot of people
know.
assume, oh, you're signed to a major label and you're playing arenas, you must be rich. That's another wrong assumption, isn't it? It often comes up.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that was really heartbreaking to see, because I was just like, that just should never, there's no world where that should be happening, where that makes sense. Like,
No.
that's, and for the, we're just people who are really taking music for granted. And like, maybe what does need to happen is that fans do stop touring because they can't, and people will realize what a hole
Yeah.
that leaves, because it's so mentally and physically grueling to tour. And then
Yeah, I bet.
I'm not, I don't even want to even tour expecting to make profit, but to come back in debt, which has happened to me as well, is
Yeah.
like, it's really hard. And then it's hard because, I've got a job as well. Like, most musicians
Yeah.
have a day job,
Yeah.
and it really leads to burnout very quickly. And isn't great for your mental health, because you got 2 9-to-5s basically, and that's not sustainable
It's a
for
lot,
anyone.
isn't it? Yeah. That's the thing about music as well. It can be just so like. Especially if you were talking about social media and stuff like that, and the work you put into the music and, writing it and touring and everything. It could be just so much, can't it? It can be so.
Oh
And we've
yeah.
seen a few, recent stories, about artists who found it so much that they've sort of, they've had to take time out. And yeah,
I
it just.
know. Yeah.
I don't know how we get like better welfare in music as well. It's another thing.
I just think, because my boyfriend, he works in film, and then I
Yeah.
hear lots of stories about, they've got a union that actually works, and they've
Yeah.
got a guild, and they've got working hours, and they've got a minimum wage. We don't have any of that. Like,
It's crazy, isn't it?
we don't have regulations on like how long our working days should be. How much minimum wage should be for like a session musician, or like, how much we expect from artists, if how many days a week they should be working full time, or like, all this stuff. We don't have HR, we don't have
No.
anyone we can go to talk about this stuff. So, people get surprised by musicians so often end up in these like really dark places, but like, the structurally, we're not very supported.
Yeah, in a way, it's
And
not surprising in a way,
no, it's not. And then you add that with being on the road, and maybe having to take drugs or drink to like get through how physically taxing that could be. And it's a cocktail for a mental health crisis. So it's not surprising, and it's not anyone's specific fault, but I think we should look at it.
Definitely, I think it's mad, isn't it? It's crazy that why music? Why is it music that is considered, you shouldn't have these safety guards and, the support. And even schemes like I feel like in other countries like France and stuff, they invest more in music as well. They
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah, in Ireland as well right
Yes, I was going
now.
to mention that as well. Yeah, there's a living wage that
Yeah,
they
and
give, which I think should be something they bring in. I mean, a mate of mine, like about 10 years ago, I was talking to him about music and streaming and the bad rates and everything. And he was saying it should be nationalized. And at the time, I was like,
definitely.
yeah. But actually, when you think about it, it makes sense because, especially at a smaller level, an emerging level, it just costs so much to do, to take on a career in music or to try it, It's just
Definitely. And
not
like
sustainable.
we need to value that, like especially in this country. I truly, I'm biased, but I believe it's our best export that we like. That's our best, the thing that we have in our toolbox that is the best is our art that this country makes.
Yeah.
And like people
You
come
go
tourists
anywhere in the
come here.
world, talking about Paul McCartney, you go anywhere in the world,
Yeah.
they always mention the Beatles. Always,
Exactly.
always.
That's what, so many tourists come here to go to Abbey Road, and like, and we got the Smiths, we got Oasis, we got
Yeah.
like, we invented so much. And like, I feel like we're slightly forgetting that that is like a huge part of our culture and our economy as well, potentially our economy if we invest in it right. Yeah, it's really this kind of stuff. That, yeah,
No,
I
I
just kind of
totally
spend
agree.
all day thinking about this.
I think it's all linked in a way, isn't it? And I think we need to like value it, otherwise, it might not be there. But like you said, you have got faith that I think there'll always be people who just like love music, who will carry on supporting it and who will carry on doing it. But it's like, yeah, you need to make it better conditions and make it, so that can reach more people and people can have like careers off it. Because the idea of having a career now in music, I know that word is like, but I don't really so much mean that. But it's like, like having some kind of, you look back at bands in the past and they had like album after album where they were on a label and are supporting them and stuff. There's just got to be like a
Yeah,
support system out there. Anyway.
definitely.
So you've got this tour coming up. You're playing Dot to Dot Festival.
Yeah.
Have you got any more? You got a festival with Fat Dog in Sheffield get together.
Yeah, and I'm going on a little mini tour with an artist called Alice Merton. We're
Oh,
supporting for
nice.
her, in Manchester and Bristol and London. So that'll be really cool. And yeah, I think, oh yeah, and I've got Great Escape as well. I think there are other
Nice.
couple other festivals. There's one in Stockton and a few other ones. I can't remember what
Okay.
they're called. But yeah, it's gonna be a nice,
Where
really nice
do
few
people
months.
go if they want to find out more about Eves Wilder?
I got a website and I've got a Spotify. I've got a TikTok. I've got all the things.
Got all the things. So just put it into Google, really.
Yeah, just Google it. Just Google it. It'll
Let me
come
have a
up.
look. You've got Instagram, which is just Eves Wilder, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah,
It's
it's
all at
all,
Eves Wilder. At
yeah.
eveswilder.com, if you go there as well. Yeah,
Yeah, there it
definitely
is.
recommend the album. It comes out in April on Secretly Canadian.
Yeah, it does. Thank
Good luck
you.
with it. And yeah,
Thank
I'm
you so much,
sure it's
Bill.
gonna go well.
It was, thank you. It was really lovely to talk to you.
And
It was
you.
like, yeah.
Thanks for talking to me, Eves. This has been In the Spotlight podcast with Eves Wilder. My name's Bill Cummings. Until the next time, bye.
Bye, thank you.